myself last week that I should slow down just a little bit as we're talking about Paul. He did so many great things, and he had a lot of triumph. He didn't have a lot of failure, but he had some failures. And to me, I think we should examine him a little bit. He's my favorite fellow in the Scripture. He really is. I like how he sees himself. I like how he views himself. And I think it's a good pattern for us to look at. So we're going to slow down a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth today, a little bit more intricate on who exactly he was, who the Bible talks about he was. Paul paints a picture of himself very, very well in the Scripture. The Lord works through him to show the people who he was. And I believe he does that to give us hope. And the reason I say that is this. If you look at your own self, at least this is how I look at myself, and you may be different if you are, amen. I look at myself as I am a sinner, and sometimes I feel like I'm the chiefest of sinners. Sometimes I feel like, man alive, what in the world was the Lord thinking when he asked me to be a preacher? What was the Lord thinking when he knocked on my heart's door for salvation? There are times that I go through that very thing, and the great thing about Paul is he lets us know that he felt that way also. There were times in his life when he just realized that he just wasn't worth very much. But glory to God, when he wasn't worth very much, the Lord saw that he was worth very much. Amen. And that's what he tried to portray to us. And I believe that's why we should slow down a little bit and take a little bit of a look at him more in depth. And if you look at the sheet that I gave you this morning, who was Paul? We're going to start out with who was he? God worked through Paul miraculously to write the book of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and most likely Hebrews. He used Paul in a very specific way, talking about Paul's life and talking about how what Paul did and the places that he went. I'm so thankful for Paul. He was basically the apostle to the Gentiles. The Bible calls him that. We'll get into that a little bit. But I'm so thankful for the life of Paul. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to start to get just a little bit of an insight to who Paul was and the things that he did. Let's start out with a word of prayer this morning, if we could. Brother Rod Black, could you lead us in prayer, please, this morning for the lesson? Amen. Thank you very much. If you look at your Bibles in Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1 there, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." You know, I just for one second, let's stop there. You know, we go through life sometimes, and I am very, very good at this. I go through life sometimes, and I look at everything bad. I look at the things in front of me and say, man alive, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, my lands, look at the bad things that are happening over here. Look at the bad things that are happening over here. Good Lord have mercy. Why don't we all just chuck it in and let's go to heaven right now? You know what? God does not want us to live that way. God wants us to live in a way that he's got something great for us. God wants us to live in a way, don't worry about the world. The world's got nothing to offer you. The world's never had anything to offer you. I don't care how great the economic times were. I don't care how bad the economic times were. It just doesn't matter. God's got something great for you and I. Why don't we rejoice in the Lord just a little bit more? I love how Brother Rob this one said, thank you for a wonderful day. You know what? It is a wonderful day. It is a beautiful day. I go soul winning with Brother Coolidge from time to time, and we get out there, and Brother Coolidge is always good at this, and I sometimes miss so many things. Brother Coolidge takes his life, and we've never talked about this, but I'm just going to give you, he takes his life one step at a time. I've watched him. And he, as we're walking out, you know those little spinners that come down? Man, I hate those things. They clog your eaves troughs and everything else. I hate them things. They get everywhere. Trashy little things. Little spinners coming off of maple trees. He looks out, he says, man, Brother Dave, look at all those seeds. The Lord is literally reseeding his planet. Look at that. making the trees to grow. I'm thinking to myself, man alive, I just threw those things out of my gutter last week, cursing. If you look at things, though, listen to me now. If you look at things through the eyes of a born-again believer, instead of the eyes that the world wants you to have, please listen to me now. Don't look at this world with the eyes of the world. Look at this world with the eyes of God. You say, well, it's impossible. It's not impossible. We just choose not to. We choose to live this life saddened and depressed. We choose to live this life. Let me explain something to you. We have got blessings that we could not contain if we could just see them. We've got blessings laid in front of us that we can't even imagine if we could just look. We walk through this life with our head hung low and our head down. We look at things through the eyes that we just can't see past it. What are we going to be like in heaven when you're not allowed to be depressed? I'm going to tell you, we have had some success soul winning, Brother Coolidge and I, but I have had more success listening him to tell me about the simple things of the world. How beautiful flowers are. And we don't get to see them very often around here. How beautiful the trees are this time of year. How wonderful springtime is. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up in the bad things. You know, the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He knew he had to tell us twice, brother, because he knew he wouldn't get it the first time. Man, we need to get a little happier about Jesus Christ. Listen, the Lord's coming back. That's not a bad thing. The Lord's coming back, and there's going to be a day that we're going to get to spend in heaven. There's going to be a day when we get to walk streets of gold. But I got to be honest with you. Thank God you're able to walk today. Thank God you're able to see today. Thank God the sun's out today. Thank God the spring is here. Thank God. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a great day. The Lord is coming soon, but even if he doesn't come soon, he ought to be right here with you every single day. Enjoy life. Live life. It's amazing. We go, I just can't live anymore. You know what? We can. It's a choice. We've got to make the choice. I say this statement over and over again, and it holds true for every single person I've ever talked about. You're going to do what you want to do. If you want to live your life depressed, guess what you're going to do? You're going to live your life depressed. And I know depression is real. Don't think for 1 minute I'm taking anything away from depression being real. But I've got to be honest with you. The times that I get depressed, that's where I'm choosing to go. Be honest with yourself now. You're choosing to go there. The cons are outweighing the pros of your life. And hey, listen. I've lived through hard times. Maybe not as hard as you. But please understand, Jesus Christ is greater than all of that. And your heart inside you, well, your heart says you know you're bad. Well, the Bible says God is greater than your heart. He's greater than your heart. Paul tells us to rejoice. He tells us to be happy. You know what's amazing? We can do that. I believe that with all my heart. We can do that if we choose to look through the eyes of your Christian heritage, to look through the eyes of the Spirit that dwells within you. Yes. Be happy today. Yes. You got heaven waiting for you. Amen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. What do you mean? He's writing the same things to him again. You know, there's times when you sit there and you get a message. Brother Dave, I've heard this over and over again. You know what? It's not bad that you do. It's not bad that you hear the same things over and over again because, believe it or not, the story hasn't changed. There's nothing new under the sun. And if you get something that's new, you probably need to throw it out. Amen? The old story is all we need to hold to. The old book is all we need to hold to. The old path is all we need to hold to. We need to find the wisdom in the gray-headed and stay with that. We need to stay with what the old paths were because I'm going to be honest with you, we can't wait to run off the road anymore today. We need to stay with the old stuff. I'm not going to be upset. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Glory to God. We need to live that way today. Your body's not worthy, but God has made you worthy. It's amazing how it works out that way. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He's trying to explain to them, looking, I know what you think you are, but listen to who I was. And he has no confidence in the flesh. He's not, I have no confidence in the flesh, but if you were going to have confidence, I've got confidence more. I could have more confidence. Verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, even more Hebrew than David down here. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was a religious man. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're going to go slowly through this. I want you to see who Paul was. We've talked about this before, but I want you to see who he was. Acts chapter 8 follows directly the stoning of Stephen. And if you look at chapter 8 verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution. Listen to me now. A great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. This is the same man that the Lord used to write Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all those books. The Lord worked through him to do this. The same fella. He was making havoc of the church. Entering into every house, not just one or two, every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. For what? For believing in Jesus Christ. Saul did this, who is going to be called Paul in just a little while. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They started putting him in prison, so they shut up, right? No. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the word, amen? I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at Saul, who is going to become Paul, he was a person. Let me explain this to you in this way. He was a person that had a high standing in the eyes of men. Really, he did. He had a high standing in the educated crowd. He had a high standing in the religious crowd. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, as touching the law, blameless. He was well-studied, well-read, well-versed. He knew exactly what the religious crowd wanted him to do. And what they wanted him to do at that time was to snuff out the Christians. He did that. He persecuted people. He went into every home. He wasn't soul winning. He was going to every home to take people out of their homes and take them to prison for belief in Christ. That's the kind of fella Paul was. That's the kind of fella that he became. Listen to me now. He became this fella not through doing bad things in the eyes of the world now, but doing good things in the eyes of the world. He became that man because religion is what he was studying. Because religion is what pushed him to do those things. Now understand, he did that which what he wanted to do. He really did do that, what he wanted, but that's what he was taught to do. He was taught to be that way because men had their ideas, and men are what prompted this to happen. Stay with me, please. You need to understand that in your flesh, Paul says this statement, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. While he was in his flesh, and we'll get to this a little bit more, but while he was in his flesh, this is what happened. If you look on in your notes, he was born in Tarsus in Acts 9:11. You see that? And also lets us know what kind of person he was while he was Saul in Acts 9:11. We're going to skip over that, but understand, just go back to that when you get the chance. In Acts 22:3, it speaks of Saul being under the tutelage of Gamaliel, a celebrated rabbi of his day. I looked up in Wikipedia on the computer just real quick who Gamaliel was, and Wikipedia might be wrong, okay, but I don't understand why they would want to be wrong. this fellow was one of the main leaders of his day, Gamaliel was. He was one of the highest, he was in the Sanhedrin, one of the highest ranking officials in the Sanhedrin. They celebrate this fella, okay? And Paul learned under this man. He learned under him all the philosophies of the human people that day. He learned those religious traditions and was blameless in learning them. I want you to look at Acts 22:3. The first verse there, men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this day at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He did what he was instructed to do according to men, not according to God. Listen to me. It is amazing what man will do without God. It is, don't be surprised. We say this over and over again as preachers. I can't believe that man did that. Hey, when you don't have God with you, don't be surprised what man will do. Man's heart is exceedingly wicked. The flesh is exceedingly wicked. You take God out of the equation, man is capable of anything. He was knowledgeable in Greek poetry. He quoted in a couple places in scriptures like Acts 17:28. We're not going to go there, but understand, he was knowledgeable. He was a very intelligent man. He was a tent maker. You see that in Acts 18:1-3. He was a tent maker by trade. He consented to the death of many Christians, including the first recorded martyr, Stephen, in Acts 7:58. Acts chapter 9. We're going to go there. You see the picture that's being painted. Now understand, God wants you to see this picture of Paul. But I really think Paul wanted people to know who he was. Now listen, he was famous. He was, and you'll see this here in a second. He was famous for the things that he did to people of the church. He was famous for that. He was well known for being very, very hard and very, very wicked and very, very disciplined. He was, you'll see, let's read about it. In Acts chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. He was telling them, listen to me, you give me permission, fella. You give me permission and I'll bring these Christians to justice. You give me permission by letter, I'll go from house to house and I'll run them out. Whether they're men or women, I'll run them out and I'll bring them to you bound. This is that man. And I believe that he wanted us to know who he was. Why? Why would he want you to know that? Because you know the end of the story, who Paul became through God, glory to God. He wants you to know, listen to me, you know who I was. Look at what God can do in a flesh that there's dwelling no good thing, in a wretched man that's who I am. Look at what happened to me when God took control. Look at what happened to me when God made the difference. Look at me. Hey, listen, I was one of the greats, and I was greatly mistaken. I was one of the wonderful ones, yet I was so very low. Now look at me, what God has done through a wretched sinner. Look at what God has done. It's like going to a yard sale and finding the greatest treasure. Every one of us were in the yard sale. And God came along and said, how much do you want from Mike Freimeyer? And they said, well, I don't know. He's not worth very much. And Jesus said, he's worth everything to me. He's worth everything to me. I think I'll just go ahead and die for him. Would my life be enough to pay for him? Is my life enough? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm not worth anything. I've led a terrible life. I've done things that are terrible in my life. Maybe you have. I have. But Jesus looked down at me and said, he's worth all that I've got. I'm going to go ahead and die for him. Just like he said, you may not be worth much in your eyes, but in my eyes, you're worth everything I've got. If you read on, verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I would to God that when the Lord comes knocking on your door, that you answer and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. You know, so many times, and Saul was an evil, wicked man. And I'm sure that the vast majority of us have not done things that Saul has done. But how many times has God knocked on your door? How many times has God asked you to do something? Hey, listen, it could be something as simple as prayer. It could be something as simple as praying for the people of this church. It could be something as simple as knocking on a door or passing out a tract. It could be something as simple as saying, I love you to somebody that maybe never hears that. How many times has the Lord knocked on your door and you looked through the peephole first? When you found out who it was, you didn't open it. Hey, listen, I've been there hundreds of times to where the Lord comes knocking. Brother Dave, would you do something for me? And not only did I not come to the door, I ignored the knock over and over again sometimes. Thank God he kept knocking for me. Now listen, I don't think he guarantees us a continual knock. I don't think he guarantees us that he's going to keep coming. I think what he does is continues to knock as long as you hear. But there's got to be a day when you go to the door. There's got to be a day when you say, hey, I need the person on the other side of that door. I need something in my life. Oh, wretched man that I am. I need something in my life. You say, well, I'm saved. You know, it's amazing how depressed saved people can be. I need something in my life. It's amazing how excited we were when we very first got saved. It's amazing how excited we were when we started doing something for God. Glory to God. Do you want the excitement back? Open the door. You want to get excited for Christ again? Lord, do something for him. You want to get excited again? Show up. You want to get excited again, start listening to His name and start looking out in His great creation and say, man alive, those aren't clogging my gutter. God's receding the earth. Glory to God, it may be hard to live here in Cleveland where the sun never shines all day. But glory to God, we've got something in our lives that the vast majority of people do not have. And that's the Holy Spirit through Christ. What in the world do we have to be upset about? Good night, man. Open the door. God's excited today. God's going door to door. Soul winning. I'm going to tell you right now, God still soul wins today. Soul winning starts at the porch, but it never ends, man. You got to keep on getting your soul won all the time. God keeps knocking on your door saying, man, I want you to be part of my life. I want you to be part of eternity. But right now, I need you to be part of the war. There's a battle going on, and He needs every one of us to fight. There's a battle going on, and He needs everyone that knows the truth to stand. He needs them to do something today. Glory to God, you want to get excited about God? Get in the war. If you want to get excited, if you want to break out of the depression you're in, tell somebody you care about them. Yeah. You want to get out of the depression you're in, tell somebody you love them. You want to get out of the depression you're in, go win somebody to Christ. Well, the road is hard. Do you think it was hard right after the Lord talked to Saul? He made him blind. Do you think it was easy for him to walk in that darkness to his next destination? Hey, sometimes you knock on a door and people don't answer. Sometimes you knock on a door, people answer, and you wish they didn't. But sometimes, listen to me now, but sometimes you knock on that door, and not only do they listen, they receive the truth that you're bringing. The problem is, do you stop at the first door? I'm so glad the Lord didn't stop knocking on my door. Even after I was saved and leading a terrible life, the Lord kept knocking at my door. And eventually I came to it. Glory to God. If He's knocking on your heart's door today, do what Saul did. Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? And then do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for Paul. I thank you for giving us a documented history of his life. Lord, it gives me great courage and great hope to know that a man such as him started out as a man such as he was. Lord, it gives me great hope to know that even though in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, you are so much greater than my flesh. And you can do great and wonderful things through me if I would just allow it. Lord, please let me allow it. Lord, please break my will and let me answer the door. Let me break my hopes and my dreams and turn them into your hopes and your dreams for my life. Lord, let me give you the wheel. Let you steer, just like Saul, who became Paul, did in his life and became somebody that was so wicked and so hated to somebody that was so loved and so influential in the lives of Christians today. Lord, please help us. Let us have a great day today. Anoint my pastor. Let him speak with your power today. Anoint Brother Mike. I'm so thankful that family's here. Lord, please anoint him tonight. Let him preach only what you'd have him to preach. Let my preacher preach only what you'd have him to preach. And let's have a great day in the Lord today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.